This is Mary Ann Hazen, March 1999. Across the quiet night, only a suffering slice of my face is seen, surface incognito, a sketch of delirium stretched over insides touched to fire, blistering guts. This cruel enchantment some call marriage, in sleep I shriek. No mere dream to shake awake shivering, no dusty daydream to be dared. Marvelously calibrated mantra of mine, pin-pricking spine, wish I may, wish I might, wish I may, through the night. Embroidered words tacked inside eyelids, fluttering fireworks. So far and away, out the quiet night I may, across the quiet sky I might, up the quiet sky in flight, across the quiet of the night. Advantages. I relax so intensely my skin snaps. This badgering rationality is enough to steam my eyelids. I practice knuckle-cracking, chain-smoking, coffee-drinking, pill-popping ways to take it easy. I idle so high, I can't come to a full stop. I could never stay between the lines. I'm the root of all evil, yet I pump the gas. I never intended to evolve into this jaw-clenching, nail-biting, heart-breaking, ulcer-burning son of a bitch. I'm totally percolated, and the pressure's gonna kill me, if you're lucky. I bake the bread of woe and lick my fingers clean, but I pay the tip, don't I? Don't I? I'm a backstabbing, nitpicking, road-raging bully boy, and I dare you, I double-dog dare you to love me enough before I explode, or very simply fall in pieces. Afterthoughts from an abduction. You ready? Don't mind the noise, you get used to it after a while. It's not so bad. I'll tell it like I remember if you'll let me. In this world of reality, we, you know, dawdle about our day-to-day destinies. We wicker down over local pop skull whiskey packs of Lucky Strikes. That's when the world swam away downstream. Trespassers will be prosecuted. Give me a minute. Behind my head, laughter ripples like water over turnips. Go ahead, roll your eyes, but inside my face, Fran, I still see the memory. That night, a young man appeared, hand at throat, beating like a broken wing, out of breath and heaving hard. Thunderclouds at his heels with rain to follow, up close personal, so horribly hollow. Storms slashing down like electric spit, flashing like fat in a frying pan, mounting and pounding the slow summer night. One solid crack splitting open deeply dank, fresh-turned earth. Wildly alarming mound of rocky rubble, pebbles popping. A smoky, sizzling, stinking shoe. Then he was just gone. Fran, I think the creatures from those thinly places, you know, granted him immediate immortality. I believe when a soul reaches its homeland, above or below the sky, cosmos, creating a stimulating, almost mystical experience to behold. Did you know there's red jello today? A summer child. My poem is a sweet summer day. A hip hip hooray, play all day. A runnin', sunnin', just for funnin', riddly tiddly in the midly, winkin', blinkin', old Abe Lincoln. I spy, tell no lie, true blue sky, rootin' tootin', clouds go scootin', dancin', prancin', fancy pantsin', nicky knackin', patty whackin', snickin' snackin', jackson, jumpin', ropin', hopin', yo yo stringin', frisbee flingin', tire swingin', church bell ringin', dizzy, lizzy, silly, spilly, down the hilly, whirlin', twirlin', singin', swingin', daisy bringin', pickup stickin', clover pickin', ice pop lickin' day. Breasts. You know, just once I'd like to say, these are breasts. Most females have them in one form or another. They're filled with mammary glands whose function is to sustain an infant. Incredible experience it was. Caution! Seems these handfuls of flesh may induce temporary idiocy in men. Breasts have been known to cause one to stare hypnotically at a woman's chest while trying to speak to her face, which may as well be on the back of her head. After which, he may walk away, not knowing what the hell he said or what her response was. Oh, yeah. Beautiful breasts may even determine the status of employment. Big boobs, big bucks, as it were. Yes, let me entertain you. Let me make you smile. A man will glance at breasts before he decides whether or not to continue on up to the face. Will it be worth the effort or not? Perhaps breasts need names for more formal introductions, as if they were Chinese triplets, the woman in each breast, together, yet separate entities. You know what I mean? For those women who may wear the delicate silver cross that dangles just between the mysteriously entrancing junction where the breasts meet, might even cause a man of the cloth to peep. Can we have an amen? In the modern world, we may coddle them in colored cups with bows and lace, buckles and straps, fiber-filled elastic to lift and separate, cross your heart, not tell a lie, stick a nipple in your eye. They may be sliced open like melons on a May day and packed with puffy plastic pillows.
Discovery of our love.
figuratively. This poem's gonna get in your face. I swear it's gonna start with you. This poem is potent. It's gonna step up behind you and show you right where it's at, make you lay down and beg for more. It will definitely have its way with you. Shove you right back in your seat and you'll want it just like that. You simply can't do without it. And you know it. You'll make excuses, be driven to see more and more. This poem will make it so very hard to just say no and mean it. Your eyes will be compelled to follow this poem down and down, bit by bit, to its final trembling line. And just when you think it's over, it'll reach up beneath. And you wish it so very much for just a little bit more. Food for thought. Crave I nourishment for my heart. Consume I love, sweet sips I start. Savor I sight, and aromas delight. Textured tasty tidbits lick my lips light. Yet taste I nothing on my tongue, and far from full I fearful run. No more take I on trembling knees, no more I thank you. Introduction to Goodwife Prudence. Goodwife Prudence Dilemma. Goodwife Prudence is a fictional character. Her plight, however, was a very real part of American history. In the summer of 1692, American colonies were struggling to overcome ongoing tribulations caused by the harshness of their new environment. The colonists, barely surviving the rigors of this new existence, were enthralled with the notion that witches lived among them. The society experienced mass hysteria fueled by superstition and fear. To prove whether or not they were witches, hundreds of people were put to the question or tested. Unbelievable tortures determined guilt or innocence, one of which was tying the accused to a chair and throwing her into the pond. A person escaping from the bonds and surfacing was thought to be using magic and was therefore a witch. Thusly proven, the witch was put to death in a hideous manner. Conversely, a person bound to a chair and not surfacing was deemed innocent of the accusations. Unfortunately, by then, the person drowned. Upon learning of this horribly absurd test of innocence, I felt the poet's compulsion to form a metered rhyme. The inspirational dilemma of the accuser, accusee. How must it feel to blame or be blamed? Forced to make the ultimate choice when human nature urges one's own survival, and then to live, God willing, with that decision. Now then, may I introduce Goodwife Prudence of the North American colonies, Salem, Massachusetts, year 1692. Goodwife Prudence. Goodwife Prudence had a thought inside her dainty head, beneath her bonnet ankled as she kneaded out the bread. Kept prickling like a thistle, puckered tight within the hem. Furrowed deep her beaded brow, flowered knuckles paused again. I durst not ponder such as this. So placed pan near the bricks, then pinched her heart to silence as she gathered up her wits. Set the table, cup and spoon, brushed out the dust through door. Put up the pitcher on the shelf, kept busy hands with more. Goodwife Prudence took her shawl, trembling closed the button catch. Retrieved wood bucket from its hook, set hand upon door's latch. Troubled up the thought within her, guilt and shame upon her fell. Stepped out the door onto the path that led to village well. Scattered chickens clucked her step, dress brushing about her feet. What have I brought upon me? Whispered Goody in defeat. Pushed back a lock from bonnet peaked without a thought for this, so occupied her thoughts remained, the vision would persist. Goodwife Prudence turned events, set the stage within her mind, remembered how the village folk had justified their crime. When judgment's finger pointed, each had cried aloud, not I, until the circle tightened, she alone could not but lie. In deepening panic, each pure heart proclaimed the other's guilt. Indeed, such fear and madness sparked as accusations built. Prudence stood alone just then, each face blanched with shame, raised an arm and pointed as her lips revealed a name. Goodwife Prudence trudged along, eyes lower to the lane, approaching well and village square where others dealt their blame. Let down the bucket on the rope and still could not lift face. For 6 feet on, bent low in stocks, there suffered Goodwife Grace. The village folk filled daily tasks as shopkeeps whispered cruel. Each gestured at the woman stocked who mocked God's natural rule. With chores complete, she made her way back to the cottage gate. Had Prudence not accused Good Grace, such too would be her fate. Goodwife Prudence kept her house, her family well cared for, loved each one as women will, and asked for nothing more. Within her heart the small voice spoke, would not bite back its flame. Relentless was the guilt she bore, till nothing quenched the pain. Yet as the day had blistered by, her head could not claim rest. Hath she beckoned the Grim Reaper, who would put her soul to test? I shan't set eye upon my lord if this I bring to thee. So set her mind upon this thought, and down the path fled she. Goodwife Prudent rushed through town, ran on past vacant stocks, held tight to skirt and apron as she clambered up the rocks. Branches snicked at bonnet's brim, birds darting from the sky. Still she trampled onward, breath heaving hot and dry. Then came upon the people crowding edge of Witch's Pond, pleading as she scrambled, Lord, release Good Grace from bonds. The village folk determined, never heeded Prudence's shouts, to prove the fate of Goodwife Grace, extinguishing their doubts. Goodwife Prudence ran about them, logic lost on deafened ears, raised her arms and pleaded, but their task was all too clear. She cried, "'Tis madness deems that ye shall douse our goodwife Grace. What proof hath thee that she should know the devil's foul embrace? Hath not thine self some minor flaw that bears no logic how? Hath not ye felt the fear inside that this might next be thou? For madness coursed within their veins as sanity took flight. Like hungry wolves encircling, crouching low, they poised to strike. Goodwife Prudence pushed her way on through the maddened mob, burst upon the edge of wrath, and cried aloud to God, Forgive us, Lord, our foolishness, and snatched at Good Grace ties, found her arms back strapped as well, drawn tight by pure heart's cries. Now in her heart a quiet fell as silent as soft snow, the women's eyes locked at a glance which words would never know. Painful hands, but strong and sharp, pitched them out to float or drown. They sank below the watery glaze, ears pulsed with heart's beat sound. Goodwife Prudence sank mudly down. Goodwife Grace took breath once more. Pure heart stood near Witch's Pond as silence edged the shore. Slow slipped time, each heart beat hushed. Eyes watched for water's break. Stark sun caught hold in branches to fear their wretched fate. The earth itself inhaled its breath, did pause to wait in fear as each dear soul relinquished life, the spirit's journey clear. So finally smooth stayed Witch's Pond, as justice was dispensed. For since their bodies did not rise, this proved their innocence. Gunslinger. Bandana wet with sweat, jaw stubbled slick and set, one boot heel stopped on step with one spur ching. His thumb through belt loop caught, squint-eyed, his lips drawn taut, crick-crack his face with thought, and so he looked. Saloon song, whiskey sounds, on bar clicked money down, perfumed smoke hazed around, tall where he stands. Sweet smile brushed its sleeve, enticed and sure to please. Take bottle, turned to leave, she took his arm. Past tables round with cards, the secret each man guards. Climb stairs, legs strong and hard, to choose one door. Lamp light with curtains red, chest washstand, basin, bed. Down drink, still nothing said, just so she waits. Cocked hat with scarf untied, free shirt and toss aside. Grip holster, door burst wide, snaps up his gun. Brace up as hot lead flew, smoked guns as seconds grew, yet just one shot fell true, all hushed below. She stands at window wide, coins fisted tight, she sighed. Alone that night she cried and said her prayers. Far off into the night rides one man, reins held tight. Won't question wrong or right, the prairie calls. Juno trumps the Empress. I listen intently to hear myself inside. Instinct will guide the way, they say. Trust in my intuition. rely on inner truth and beauty. I seek my unique personal vision within. I am inspired, enlightened, emotionally alive. I am fully developed and ripe to pick. I offer myself sincerely. I am creation, illumination, true worth. Look here, I am grace. I approach each situation with expertise and efficiency. I am the prize. I hone the edge. I serve stability and structure on pretty paper doilies. I grant freedom, fortune, and fame. I pinch the crease. I fulfill the images of wildest dreams. I dry torrents of tears on my back. I lick the wrinkle. I suck the galaxy up between my tingling thighs and spit it back in the gutter. I am the exotic, erotic exposure of negatives. I bleed through my skin like sweat. I fly over hungry heads through breathless brains. I am so alive I could scream and scream. I primly zipper trousers. I taste burning wants on my fingertips. I can have, I can handle, I can hold. Lady Magazine. The magazine I bought yesterday at the checkout counter told me I need to have a job and keep house as well as fight unsightly suburban dandelions in my lush lawn. I must be slim as I raise my children and enjoy sports as a single parent. It suggests that I strive for intelligence, sensuality, and be able to fix my car with a cheerful attitude and big breasts. It's best to be skinny and have a sense of humor while I manage my budget with coupons. Claims that women need to show sensitivity while we defend our country and file our taxes. I must maintain my composure as I aerobicize slenderly while being scented like flowers, dryer sheets. Said I can have clear, soft skin while I drive heavy machinery in my string bikini. If I exercise and eat right, I can be healthfully trim as I care for my grandparents, parents, children, significant other, myself, and for just 35 cents a day, an underprivileged child on the other side of the globe. Longing. On the very verge of slumber, near the twilight edge of dreams, through the mists of sheer illusion, I feel you near, it seems. I know the sweet sensation, so softly to your touch, wanting you most warmly, this moist lute just so much. Taut and tender to intense, till poised upon the brink, then trip the switch, fantastic flare, slip slowly down and sink. On the very verge of slumber, where dwindle I, it seems, lie patiently awaiting to join you. Messages in the night. When I finish my day and the day is done, I lay down my head, just let the thoughts come. Words at first quiet, mumbled phrases or rhymes, build and grow bolder, yet sometimes are mine. Tongues do not speak, nor are voices heard, but inside my head clearly printed each word. Mysterious origins I can't comprehend, yet form in my mind till I reach for a pen. In bedroom darkness my hand itself moves, must transcribe to paper the words that deluge. In sleep I take messages formed without care, to find them next morning to read what is there. At times these may startle, but oft times they're sweet, scribbled in portions or written complete. Although it's exhausting, I know that it's right. I must take the message that comes in the night. My slippers. The buzzing at a.m. to coax my mind. Coffee grounds are brewing, shower steaming hot. Iron, smoothing shirt sleeves, stockings rolling up, out the door with car keys just in time. Punch the ticking time clock, heave a sigh. Telephone keep ringing, people waiting, words to type. Sorting through confusion, taking care to get it right. Counting down the hours, strangling by. Frantic frenzy to get done and leave. Run to get the mail and papers sorted, typing done. One last confirmation call, down the hall I run. With shopping list and purse and coat and keys. Forever at the red light, stop and wait. Back and forth throughout the store, up and down each aisle, boxes, bags, and bagels on forever in a mile. Write the check, load up the car, or I'll be late. Again the light is red near I stay. Grab the kids, she gets to the front, dragging home with all this stuff. Get inside, to kitchen schlep, clean and cook. Hey, that's enough. And all the while, listening to their day. Clear the table, homework I must see. Lunch was gross, one sneaker's lost. She has a note under it. Pick out your clothes, brush your teeth, kiss and tuck in bed. And all day long, my slippers wait for me. Names. My name is just Mary, and Mary is me. She is the person that I choose to be. But when I'm not Mary and she's not I could be anyone under the sky. My name may be Jet, or Zigzag, or Doe. My name could be Dumplings, or Silent as Snow. I may be called Doorbell, some call me Trombone. I might be named Trolley, some say I'm Bleached Bone. Maybe Rich Blue Sky, or Cradle the Sun. I could be Jello and jiggle for fun. Just call me Mist Rising, Gold Wedding Band, Purple Grape Gumdrop, or Pink Desert Sand. I go by Westminster, Warm Wool, or Gem. I might be Illusion, or Thorny Rose Stem. Yet, when I grow tired, as you knew I would, then I'm just Mary, 'cause Mary is good.